Yeah, this is just an example of a phenomenon, but the more we encounter it, the more obviously the cumulative pattern is convincing. And that is the almost reluctance of Rishonim who believe that Ksuba really is Drabanan in terms of the sugyas in the Gemara, meaning Ziburis, Pesach Pasuach, Mos Kaputkia, etc. But they seem to be, some of them, very ambivalent about simply relegating Ksuba to the periphery and as being a Din Drabanan, and that's why here and there we're getting contradictory formulations. So again, if you have it in one, it's an idiosyncrasy. When you get it in the same Rishon, obviously again and again, like we have in the Rambam, obviously it's a very clear pattern. When you get it across the board, Rishonim, again, it's not just a pattern within a particular Rishon, it's a reflection that, notwithstanding some of the evidence, there's kind of a Mesorah idea that Ksuba is something which really transcends the Dine Mamanus and the narrow part of it as well. So just adding to that idea, so Tuvi pointed out to me that the Tashbeitz and Chelek Beis, what is that, Simen Kufe Beis, so he has a piece, not such a long piece, in which he also explains that Ksuba's Drabanan, right? But in the end of the day, he just can't let go of it also, like the others. So if you don't mind, just read the language. Yeah. So that's a strange formulation. He basically is proving the whole time that the thrust of it is to prove the Ksuba's Drabanan.
He can't even try to explain why the Minhag Ashkenaz.
So why is the Minhag Ashkenaz Chazal Lechim Daraisa?
And that's what he says here at
the end, to answer. Which is that it is Drabanan, but it's a kind of a Daraisa Dika Drabanan, whatever that means. So in a way, that's obviously similar where I was when I was focusing on the fact that the Rambam, there are different Girsos and the Kisveyat of the Rambam, whether they say Dechotzi Lechi and the Daraisa. Again, the Rambam, we spent a lot of time and we tried to demonstrate that he really is not just ambivalent, but he really has this more complex view. The possibility that the Girsos that say Chazi Lechim Daraisa would work for the Rambam actually are not so far fetched at all. But basically, that's what the Tashbetz is saying. He's saying it's Rabbanan, but it's Daraisa. What does he mean by that? So I would argue whether he knew fully what he meant or not. But what he's tapping into is the idea that the Yesod, the Ikaron, if you will, behind Ksuba is Daraisa. And even though the details are Drabanan, this particular form is Drabanan, that doesn't alter the fact. But similarly, if you look in the, I was looking around in other places, things I had seen in the past, the Ravan in Ksuvas, Andaf Yudom and Aleph, which is, if anybody wants to look it up, or anybody has it, Tav Kuf, Simon Tav Kuf Lamed Zayin in the Ravan. So when he reaches the point of Yerom and Aleph, he unequivocally tells you that Ksuba is Drabanan. Then in Simen Tuf Tav Kuf Mem Aleph, again, he repeats it. He mentions it's a Takana, it's a Drabanan, and so on and so forth. But later on in Simen Tav Kuf Mem Aleph, and when he starts talking about the Sugya Nun Vav Mubeis, which we're going to get to in just a minute, the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir regarding Poches, Libesula Mimasayim, so the Rabban says we paskin like Rav Meir, and even though he says Rav Meir's position is based on Ksuba being Daraisa, he has some line like Halacha Kidvarav Bigzeirosav or something like that, and then in the footnotes there, in the new Rabban, which actually I received from the Shir a couple of years ago, thank you very much. So he just points out the stira. He just says, didn't the Rabban say unequivocally, two places, one in the same simen, that Ksuba is only Drabanan? And here he's telling you that we paskin like Rav Meir, that, Ksuba is Daraisa, despite it, or at least that the impact of Rav Meir's halacha we paskin like. So once again, you have this kind of interesting ambivalence. Again, it goes across different halachic cultures, Tashbetz, the Rabban. You have it also in the Me'iri. The Me'iri here in Ksuvas, again in Dav Yud and Kuf Yud, unequivocally takes the stand that Ksuva is Drabanan. And, you know, he contrasts it with Rabbeinu Tam, you know, who he thinks holds that it's Daraisa. Again, we noted the Shita Mekubetzis is reading of Rabbeinu Tam, which is also, you know, this ambivalent, you know, middle kind of stance. But the Meiri says explicitly here on Daf Yud Amud Aleph and Kuf Yud that Ksuva is Drabanan. But if you look at the Meiri in the beginning of Kiddushin, which is an important formulation anyway, there the Meiri, if anybody can, if you can get it on the screen just for a second, it's on page one. Either way, I was going to discuss this when we talk about Kiddushin and Nisuin. The Meiri has this tendency, you know, Meiri of course is very influenced by the Rambam. Anybody post-Rambam is influenced by the Rambam. But it's always fascinating to see what people who are very influenced by the Rambam, you know, do with the Rambam when they quote it, or especially when they don't quote it, you know, but they integrate it. You know, when they co-opt language or formulations of the Rambam, you know, because the Rambam was such a powerful influence, you know, what do they do with it? So, for example, a great example always to chart is the Smag, right? The Moshe Mikutzi, say from Mrs. Godel. So he's one of the Bali Tosis, right? But as you know, anybody who's ever opened up a Smag knows, the work is kind of a, you know, a shiluv between you know, the Rambam and Bali Tosis. He's very influenced by the Rambam and the structure of the Rambam, but you know, he's one of the Bali Tosis. So similarly, the Meiri, you know, obviously was very very influenced by the Rambam, but you know. You know, it's grafted onto his own Chachmei Provence tradition. Anyways, a lot of things that the Rambam says about Kiddushin, you will see soon, both in Ksuvas and in Kiddushin, and in his Sefer Magen Avos. Magen Avos is a Sefer that the Meiri wrote, you know, a standalone Sefer, a different Simanim, where basically he tries to, you know, navigate or negotiate between, you know, the Minhagim of, you know, Ashkenaz, Tzorfat on the one hand, Sfarad on the other, and Provence in between. So he has, like, you know, he weighs in on a lot of issues in Magen Avos. Anyways, he has a piece in Magen Avos also about an issue which we'll discuss a lot, and that is, you know, whether you have, you know, two Kosos and two Birchas HaBor Pri HaGafens, or one, you know, when it comes, when you do the, you know, the Erusin and the Nisuin together. Again, the general Minag Ashkenaz, Minag, the general Psak in Ashkenaz, is to separate, we're going to get to that in a second anyway, is to separate, you know, the Birchas Erusin and the Birchas Nisuin. And, you know, some of the Rishonim disagree, even some Chachmei Ashkenaz disagree. It's also part of an exchange between Rabbeinu Meshulam and Rabbeinu Tam and the Chelek HaTshuvos of Sefer Yashar, which we'll speak about in a couple of minutes, and the role of Ksuva in that. Anyways, the point is that the Meiri will often, he has a piece on this, and he speaks about these topics in Ksuvas and in Kiddushin, as you would expect that he would. He often adds Nisuin to the mix of what the Rambam describes as Kiddushin. So in the context of that, it's interesting that the Meiri, in the very beginning of Kiddushin, starts writing over the Rambam, you know, formulation of, you know, pre and post Matan Torah. That's how the Rambam begins, right? You know, Koda Matan Torah Adam Pogeb, you know, Isha Bishuk, Ratzahu Ratztahi, you know, Kivin Shaditna Torah Li Yisrael, you know, that's, so the Rambam says the addition is Kiddushin and Ede Kiyum, right? That's the language of the Rambam, and Halak Likuchin Eilu Mitzvah Saseh Shal Torah Eilu. Be discussing these Lashonos in greater length. That the Rambam, Koda Matan Torah Adam Pogeb, Isha Bishuk, Ratzahu, Vehi Lisa, Osa, Machnisa, Lebeso, Bola, Benoda, Benatzma, Vetiel, Ali, Isha. Kim, Chinit, Natora, Nitzav, Yisrael, Shem, Yirtza, Ish, Lisa, Isha, Yikno, Satzkila, Bifne, Edim. So it's the Kenyan of Erison, and it's Bifne, Edim. Vachakak, Tiel, Ali, Isha, Shinem, Kikak, Isha, Isha, Uba, Allah, Vilik, Kuchene, Lemitzas, Asseishal, Torah, Hed. Vachem, Begimel, Drachim, Isha, Niknes, and so on. We'll be getting back to these Lashonas. So the Miri on page one of Kiddushin, you have it there? So. What? You able to get it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just interesting that he has Va'inen hu shekodem matan Torah lo haya lahem isha selek kashahi adam pogeh isha v'shuk, right, it's you know, working up, right, v'yashra be'ena v'yamedaber b'ino l'veina b'inyan anisuin, right, b'in niosin ze lazeh machnis al-besa v'omeda simo v'hoysa l'isha. Okay, kashahi miskotetin, he expands it zeh b'zeh, right, haya holech lo zeh mikan, zeh mikan, In other words, easy marriage, you know, easy divorce, no fault, you know, also no ceremonies. Mitokach lo haisav, then he adds, mitokach, and this is an interpretation of the Rambam, really, kind of, from his point of view. Mitokach lo haisav emas baal muteles kolkach ala isha. Right, shetachush leminias avodaso olistos mitachtav olikvots benedarim bederech kosalo v'layetzam kesher hazak binyanim elu. Again, the Meiri happens to choose to focus more on the husband's dominance in the relationship and so on. That doesn't really. He also mentions this, the intensity of the relationship. If you know, it doesn't really matter whether that's the end. The point is that you know there's a qualitative change at the time of Matan Torah to make Ishus into a much more deeper, more committed, right, more long-term, Kedusha-oriented relationship. And the details of what that includes, you know, can be variable, but that's the idea that he's trying to explain very clearly. V'loyetzom kesher chazak binyanim elu, right, ela b'yibum. The only time there was a kesher chazak was actually, ironically, in Yibum. We mentioned this Meiri a couple of years ago. We learned Yivamos, for those who were here. The idea of Kedushas Ishus Shal Yibam is very prominently projected by this Meiri. He's saying, you know, even before Ishus had this more intense Kedusha, Yibam did. But the reason that is, it sounds like something that's counterintuitive, because Yibam is a peripheral, you know, and an occasional, rare, you know, circumstance, and maybe even an exception, you know, to the Beishas Ach and so on. But then he explains, Shei Mukrach Etzlam Veloshum Pirud L'Siba Keduma Be'munasam B'inyan HaNefesh. Okay, that's a reference to, to Gilgul Neshamos probably, but even more so, again, the idea of, on an exoteric level, the idea that it could be an exception because it's a supreme example of the selflessness, and the goal orientation, you know, of Isha's goal-oriented in terms of Kedusha, in terms of family, and so on. So Yibam, even though it's a peripheral in terms of rarity and so on, and a rule-breaker, it's a rule-breaker which is kind of like a precursor to the concept of Kedusha's Isha's. That itself, that's not our topic right now, but that itself is the important point of the Amir. Then he says, Shenit Natorah, again, just like you're reading it in the Rambam, you know, Shenit Natorah Yisrael. So he adds, Nitztabu Lios Inyan Ha'ishus the Kesher Chazak the Erusin V'Nisuin, right? He adds the V'Nisuin here, Ube'edin, that's Eden Kiyum, and here he adds, and Tamar mentioned this to me yesterday as well, but it's on my list, Ubiksuva, right? Vishalo Yuchal V'Shalcha Ela Beget, right? Ukeshedizakek L'Achiv Imbesu B'lo Zera Shetei Zikasa Niteres V'Nekeres B'Chalitza. So basically, the Meiri took the beginning of the Rambam and he just, you know, did two things to it. Number one, he expanded the list, right? Instead of just being Erusin, Kodim Lekidushin, and Edikium, which we'll speak about, right? It also became, Nisuin and Gitin, and Sota, and the Darim, and the paradigm of Yibum, but for our purposes, what's also fascinating is Ksuva. What's Ksuva doing here? And notice, going to the language, the Ksuva is separate from Vishala Yukal Shalcha Ela Beget, right? It's right before it. The purpose of the Ksuva, as we know, Shalotei Kala Be'enav Lahom Tzia. So the point, the double point here, one is, Kivin Shenit Natorah, what's that got to do with Ksuva? Right? The Meiri says very explicitly, as I mentioned, and Daf Yud Amud Aleph and Kuf Yud and so on, that we paskin Ksuva as Drabanan. So how's that part of the Kivin Shenit Natorah of Yisrael? Right? But, you know, that's what the Rambam said too, Lisa Isha B'Ksuva V'Kiddushin, and so on. So again, the Meiri is another example, along with the Rabban, along with this Tashbetz, along with some of the other Rishonim that we're seeing, where even though he tells you that explicitly, and in terms of the details of Ksuva, it's Rabbanan, he can't help himself almost. I mean in a good way, not in a bad way. Not that he Chas V'Shalom is mistaken. What I mean is the opposite, meaning his instinct is that Ksuva is tapping into you know, part of the Chiddush of Matan Torah. So not only is this, again, another example of this ambivalence or complex status, you know, status, etc., but, of course, he himself says that this is one of the manifestations of Lechazek as Kesher Ha'isha, same reason that you need formal Gerushin and Kinyan of Erusin Lifnei Nisuin, and from that point of view, again, it's a very powerful statement, an example of these issues. Okay, so that's a point that Tashbates, the Ravon, the Meiri, that's point number one. Point number two is Eli brought to my attention. Yeah.
Just on a conceptual level, why not just pass in the deraisa?
What do you mean? Well, I mean they kind of are, but the Gemara, I mean again, the you know, Rishonim don't speak in a vacuum. The Gemara debates whether Ksuvas Doraisa Drabanan, and the Gemara says that there are all sorts of nafkamina in terms of details, you know, Mikule Ksuva Shanu Khan. So it's Mos Kaputkia, it's Ziburis, it's Pesach Pasuach, it's you know, Masna Mashakasa Batora, you know, Poches Mibisul, there are a few others also. You know, and so the Rishonim are operating with the Masorah of Torah Sheval Peh, the Mishnah and the Gemara, where the debate about Ksuvah D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan has a very specific meaning. What I'm trying to show is that notwithstanding that, they have this perspective that, you know, the Yesod of Ksuvah, or the details might be D'Rabbanan, and so on. Now again, how much is Rabban, how much is that also? I mean, you might say the obligation to give an amount, like Ramban is saying that Hoksuv is Daraisa, so that doesn't mean the amount, and it doesn't mean Tsuri, and it doesn't mean, sorry, necessarily Idis, right? It just means, as we'll get in a sec, to in a second, means something, you know, or something agreed upon. Others will say that, you know, it doesn't even mean that. It means some methodology, right, of injecting, you know, this kesher chazak bein ish liishto, and the idea of shalotei kala be'enav, you know, lahotzia. So there are obviously clearly arguments here. I'm trying to show a pattern, but there are small but important differences in how this is expressed. So many, some of the Rishonim will say to you, well, that isn't ksuvah d'oraisa, but that's ksuvah d'oraisa. You know what I mean? It's kivin shenitna Torah, but in terms of what we associate it with legally, in terms of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they're paskening neman habal omar pesach pasuach, and they're paskening mikulei ksuva, you know, shanu kan. The question is, oh, the nusach ha-dechazi l'chim daraisa, does that go on this broader idea, or does that, you know, tap into the more specifics? So that would be...
The fact that it is there, does that take away from anything that we're saying?
I don't think so. What I'm saying is, I mean, listen, there are plenty of Rishonim out there who think that it's Drabbanan and it's Drabbanan Lagami like any other Drabbanan. But for this group, what I'm saying is the different formulations are important, and where it expresses itself, there might be arguments, but I don't think it takes away Kihuzef from the Yisod at all. And I think that's what's important. As if I'm much more impressed by the Rambam's expressions of Ksuvah D'Oraisa than I am, you know, bothered by the fact that the Pratim are all Drabbanan. And I think that would be true for the others as well. Okay, so regarding some of the details, so Eli just pointed out to me, you know, correctly, that if you look, we mentioned yesterday that the Ramban, you know, the Rajba, obviously, and Ra'ah, and Ritva, and Rabbeinu Kresk is following the Ramban. You know, they're part of the whole school of the Ramban. So they quote this Ramban, and some of them, you know, adopt the position of the Ramban, which is also, again, even though the Ramban seems to be the strictest constructionist, you know, in criticizing the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos and criticizing Rashi and his Perush Al HaTorah and saying, listen, Ksuvah D'Rabbanan means Ksuvah D'Rabbanan, you know, my friends. Nonetheless, when it comes to Ksuvah D'Oraisa, that's true, it is that way in Ksuvah D'Rabbanan. But when it comes to Ksuvah D'Oraisa, right, the Ramban actually also echoes this idea in that, you know, Kimbar Basulos doesn't mean that it's equated with Onis. It just means that the fact that it's defined in the Torah as Mohar, you know, shows you this Yesod in Ishus. And then he says, and therefore, you know, the details are, you know, even according to that Mandam, are not, you know, necessarily dependent on Onis. Either may not be a reference in Torah Shebichsav at all, maybe it's Torah Shebichsav, and even if it's Torah Shebichsav, right, it's a much more amorphous kind of a thing. So in within that worldview, Ellie just pointed out to me that there still are two interesting formulations, and that is the Ramban basically is of the opinion that you know, that the Ramban is the one who says that both of them have to agree on the amount, whereas the Ritva and Rabbeinu Kreskes, when they quote this perspective of the Ramban, seem to suggest that the husband is Koveya. Am I getting it right? Right? That's number one. Number two, Ellie pointed out to me correctly also, and that is that both the Ritva and Rabbeinu Kreskes, if you have the language, suggest that not only that there's more than one, even on, that seem to suggest or project that once the Rabbanan were goes there, the amount, then that becomes, you know, part of the Daraisa, according to the Mandamar, Ksuva Daraisa. Again, the Ramban doesn't say that, but Rabbeinu Kreskes and the Ritva, each in slightly different ways, but I personally don't think it makes that much of a difference. You have language?
The Ritva says, Rabbeinu Ramban, Zal Kasa Dikushi Mekar Lesa, the Rashba, Ksuva Daraisa, Shasamko, Salasha Mohar, Absulos, about Imba Zasaki Duomina Torel, Kitimashi Eskimu Beinem, O Kitimashi Yitzuru Kahan.
Yeah. So that line, again, the Yaskima Benayim is not what the Ramban says. The Ramban really says that the husband will determine. I'm sorry, the Yaskima Benayim is what the Ramban says. Sorry. The Rabbeinu Kreskes says the husband will determine. But both Rabbeinu Kreskes and the Ritva have this other line, and that is that once the Chachamim dictated an amount, that's Koveya on the Daraisa level as well. So again, that's a great example of, like, you know, what does that mean? It's a Gzeira Drabana, and how does that become part of the Daraisa? But again, if the Yesod is this idea of being mechazek, the kesher, and the confidence, you know, of the Ishus, so it's exactly what we spoke of, you know, last year and in the mashal of, you know, the Rambam and Ramban on Shavuos on Shabbos. That is, if the Chachamim have determined that this is the proper amount to protect the Ishus, then for someone to, you know, to try to wiggle out of that is basically to take an advertisement out in the newspaper and say, I'm getting married, but I'm going to try to do it in such a way that, you know, is not fully committed. You know, that becomes a violation of the Doraisa. That's an important formulation. Yeah? He's saying that the language of Mohar, right, signifies that in Isha, Kamara, Basulos, means that there's such a thing. Basulos have a Mohar concept. And, you know, meaning, you know, there's a financial, you know, aspect, you know, which governs, you know, the relationship in terms of, you know, dissolving the marriage or ending of the marriage. And Ones has that as well. That's our Ramban.
What exactly is the comparison? Is more something that's always going to be a key in the issues, or is it something that represents...
You mean in terms of the Ones part?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Let's leave that for now. I hope we'll get a chance to speak more about Ones at another point. Not necessarily. I don't think necessarily. It could just be... In Ramban, I don't think we can know. Here, I don't think we can know. Well, I'll get back to that, I hope, at another point. Okay, so that's in terms of the perspectives in the Ramban. So now let's return to what remains on our list. So... I think I was talking about the reading of the Ksuva, which I think now is a good thing to talk about, given all of this. And that is the minhag that we have to read the Ksuva under the Kopa. So it's not just, you know, to add another kibud, though that would be certainly a very you know, beneficial a reason as well. The question is, why do we read the Ksuva under the Chuppah? Where does this come from? What is the rationale that is given to it? So as I mentioned yesterday, it's associated with Rashi. I couldn't find it in the Tshuvas Rashi when I looked the other day, although I do recall seeing it there somewhere. Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar, in the Chelek HaTshuvos, records the exchange between himself and Rabbeinu Meshulam, regarding, again, whether you make, you know, the Birchas Eirusin and Birchas Nisuin, like we do the Eirusin and the Nisuin together. As we'll see when we get to the, you know, Shakla Vitaria, the Gemara, you know, over the next couple of days, right in the time of the Gemara, you know, they used to have a year, usually, between the Eirusin and the Nisuin. A lot of preparation. And but you know, when you do them together, the question is, so you're saying Baruch Pirei HaGafen twice, both brachos, the Birchas Eirusin and the Birchas Nisuin, are in a kos. So is that a problem of Ein Osin Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos, or not? So that is an interesting question which we'll discuss much more. Obviously there are two components, you know, to that issue. Right? What are the two components to that issue? Yonatan?
Whether or not you can consider Eirusin and Nisuin separate problems.
100%. To what extent are Eirusin and Nisuin one theme or dafka two themes? Right? The more you consider them two themes, the more likely that we're going to look at this as chabilos, chabilos. And the second issue, of course. Not so much our topic.
Whether or not there's a problem.
Well, not so much whether there's a problem, but where do you draw the line in Einosin, you know, mitzvos, chabilos, chabilos? How disparate, how dissonant, how, or just, you know, how not the same? Something can be not necessarily the same. It doesn't have to be antithetical or dissonant, right? It doesn't even have to be distinct, right? Where do you draw the line in the rule of Einosin mitzvos, chabilos, chabilos? And that's not our topic right now. When we discuss that more fully, that issue, we'll talk about both parts. You have to look at some of the paradigms, you know, in the Gemara, in particular the Gemara in the end of Psachim, right, Kupes, you know, Birchas Hamazon and Kiddush, you know, what about Sheva Brachos and Birchas Hamazon, and what about Birchas Eirusin and Birchas Nisuin? Okay. So there's a Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos issue which needs to be discussed in all of this, but that's not our problem right now. The bigger question, let's go to the first one you raised, is what is the relationship between Kiddush and Nisuin? How integrated should they be? How different are they? That's part of our next topic also, not the Sherek Susviona, but the, you know, the question of Das and Kinyan. How do we look at the relationship between Kiddush and Nisuin? Either way, the reading of the Ksuva in between, you know, becomes a very intriguing issue. Put it this way. If you believe that fundamentally, you know, Kiddushin and Nisuin are one, and they should be set al kos echad, you know, with one Bari Prayer Gofen also. You might be bechalik between the Bari Prayer Gofens and the kos echad. It's also an issue. But if you believe that, so then the interruption by reading the Ksuva, the minig to read the Ksuva in between, becomes a problem. Like, why should we do that, right? Because naturally, we would want to integrate halachically this, you know, especially if there's a halachic consequence. Well, let me say it this way. If you take the view that you know, you can read the Ksuva in between, right, and you can still have a single Baruch Pirei Gofen and a single Kos, right, that would be an interesting shita. That would establish that the Ksuva is not considered to be a hapsik. Okay. Now again, you have to also figure out what is the criterion or level of hapsik. Okay, but that would be one thing. If you assume that the Ksuva is a hefsek, right? So then the question is, so why are we doing this? And here you could take one of two positions. One is, well, we really would rather not, because we would want Kiddushin and Nisuin, right, to be integrated. But then you have to basically say there's some urgency, there's some tremendous payoff, spiritual payoff, you know, to, you know, reading the Ksuva, which justifies, you know, violating what otherwise would be this ideal of integrating the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. So then you're going to have a situation where the reading of the Ksuva somehow has to be urgent and meaningful, you know, ironically. There's a certain irony in that, because you might think that the more urgent and meaningful it is, the less of a hefsek it is. Right? But maybe technically it's a hefsek, you know, but obviously there's a really good reason to be reading it. On the other hand, if you think there's not much of a good reason, and it is a hefsek, it's a natural hefsek, and there's not much of a good reason to be reading it, right? So then you might take the position, or you might be, you know, it might be because you're taking the position that you really want to be mafsik between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, and therefore you dafka want to pick something which doesn't fit so much, or which breaks them up. So without, I don't want to go into so much, you know, detail. Let's tell you what the actual shita said. The Ramah quotes this in Simin Samach Aleph, Sif Aleph, the minag you know, to read the ksuva in between the Birchas Eirusin and the Birchas Nisuin. And as I said, we find two interesting discussions about it. One is in the Tshuvas of Rabbeinu Tam. Anybody get a chance to look at it? So Rabbeinu Meshulam was of the opinion. Who saw it? Nobody? Yeah. Yakir? Rabbeinu Meshulam was of what opinion? The what? They should one coast. That all things being equal, the Kiddushin and Nisuin should be integrated. And yet, he says, and he says, that's fine, it's okay to do Rashi. So like Yafa Osa or something like that, right? Do you have language?
Yeah.
You don't have to put it on the board if you don't want. Just read it, whatever.
Something.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay,
when we get to the whole issue, we'll talk about the paradigms and so on. Go ahead. Yeah. So that is very interesting, right? He's basically saying normally you should integrate these two, right? Back here? But if you do like Rashi, that's good. Right? So that's pretty strange. Like, why would you, if he thinks that there's an ideal to keep the two together, then why is Rashi good? And that's kind of what Rabbeinu Tam, and say, if the Rabbeinu Tam Savi Yoshua thinks it's, the whole thing is wrong, right? And not only from a Chavilos point of view, maybe also from a Chavilos, again, when we discuss this, we'll discuss it. But, you know, again, there's a good line there which we should just, you know, be aware of already, but we'll discuss it more later. He says, Kiddushin and Nisuin are very, very different. You have that line? He cites the fact, you know, that one is, you know, a Chiyuv Misa, and the other is not. What does that have to do with anything, right? But he's trying to, apparently, the Rabbeinu Tam was of the opinion that, you know, Eirusin and Nisuin have different functions. They're not just a continuation of the same. Again, they might supplement each other perfectly, but you know, they're contrasting institutions. Part of our broader. You have that line?
Okay.
Go ahead. And we find the Rishonim, some Rishonim, other Rishonim say that also, and we'll get to it. Yeah, the fact that one is mutter and the other is also b'moed, all these things, according, you might say, oh, these are all technicalities. Right, we'll get to them. But obviously Rabbeinu Meshulam isn't impressed, right? But Rabbeinu Tam says, oh, these signify that we're dealing with two totally different, you know, shlavim, totally different aspects or motifs, you know, in marriage. The things that characterize it are themselves interesting. Yeah. And therefore, all things being equal, there should be two kosos no matter what. Go ahead. Then he went, what's his comment about the Rashi? Then he says, and you yourself, Rabbeinu Meshulam, right? Even Rabbeinu Meshulam was like extremely like humble in the end of the piece there. You know, Tom's like raking him over the coals after Rabbeinu Meshulam was like, you know, I'm your Talmud, you know, just tell me, you know, what I should do. Yeah, go ahead. So what's he saying? He's saying, I don't understand you, I think is what he's saying. What's he saying, Yakir? I don't understand you. You said that you like Rashi's minhag and it's so good. So, and therefore what's he really asking?
Why
is it so good if you really think that there should be an integrated, if you think that you only need one coast because you think they're really integrated and you think that's the way it's supposed to be, you have this view of Kiddushin and Nisuin as one, you know, holistic, you know, unit. So why do you think it's so good that Rashi thought you should read the Ksuva in the middle? Right? That's an interesting point by Rabbeinu Tam. Apparently, the answer for, I think, you know, to advocate for Rabbeinu Meshulam, Rabbeinu Meshulam will tell you, Yakir, what's he going to tell you? There's a kind of a dialectic here. On the one hand, it's true, all things being equal, I think the Kedushin and the Nisuin are a holistic whole, and there's an advantage putting them together, and certainly justification, not Chavilos, Kosechad Bracha Achas is totally justified. On the other hand, reading the Ksuva, there's some huge benefit for reading the Ksuva that justifies breaking up the brachos. So what that really does is it makes the reading of the Ksuva, you know, a prominent thing. Again, the irony, as I said before, is, well, if it's so prominent, then maybe it shouldn't be a hapsik either. But okay, I mean, that's an irony. We can live with that. What is so great about reading the Ksuva that you should disrupt for it? So let's just to fill out the picture, on the after Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Meshulam, so we also have the Rush and the and Tosas and Psachim. Did you see that? Anybody? Is it Betzalel? Any chance? What's the Rush and Psachim and what's Rabbeinu Tam? What's the Tosas and Psachim? Ellie? What? Okay, but in terms of the Ksuba part, what did Tosa say? Did you read in Tosa on Kubbeis? One second. What's the Ulakach? Ulakach Niskaven, right? What does that mean? So basically, the way Tosas quotes it is we read the Ksuva dafka to make a hafsek. Now there's some like, which means, it's also strange, right? I mean, mimon of shach, right? But what it means is there's a kind of ambivalence whether to integrate the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, right? And we're reading the Ksuva, right, to kind of bimotzi atzmenu min asafek, in order to justify the hafsek. So that's also interesting. Again, we'll get back to these when we talk about them, but you can already see a little bit, right? That's not how Rabbeinu Meshulam reads. Rabbeinu Meshulam is, you know, the reading of the Ksuva overrides the ideal of integrating. Right? Tosas is saying, we really want to be mafsik because they're different enough, but we're not fully just sure whether we can do that because of bracha she'ena tzricha. Right, we're not sure, or it's kind of on the borderline. So we read the Ksuva, right, in order to justify the break. That's exactly the opposite of probably what Rabbeinu Meshulam was saying. Rabbeinu Meshulam was saying we read the Ksuva because it's so good and so important to read the Ksuva, despite. And Tosa is saying we read the Ksuva, not despite, but because. Right. And what does the Rosh say, Ellie? He doesn't have that line. Right? I think he gave it on the supplementary Marma Kama, so. Oh. Hilkach.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, again, not that's the reason for. So either it reflects, right? Or either it's like we said for Rabbeinu Meshulam, that the minug is koveya. I mean, sorry, the minhag to read the urgency of reading the Ksuva, the importance of reading the Ksuva is Kodeya, right? Or a third possibility, it reflects. The minhag to read the Ksuva, right, highlights the discrepancy, the difference. Okay, so we have three perspectives, really. Okay, so just to make it perfectly clear, so again, if the reading of the Ksuva, if the Ksuva, rather, is mostly like a knas, right? And it's something extraneous. But it accomplishes good things. Shlo te kalabein of lahotzia. Fine. But in the end of the day, it's not a kiyum and ishus. It's about, you know, what will happen, sadly. It's also a jarring note, I would add. You know, Nebuch, if there's a divorce. You know, Nebuch, if there's a death. You know, that's a read of the ksuva. You know, today we have these, you know, we're trying to push this prenuptial agreement, which is very important, and we want people to sign it because it helps people. So, you know, I mentioned this to Hassanim, you know, who I speak to. You know, we always encourage them to do it. Ari Willig, in particular, really crafted this document and has spent many, many years, like, improving it. And it's an important thing. So sometimes you have to, like, convince people to do it because it's a little jarring, you know, to start planning, you know, the details of your divorce, you know, before your marriage. You know, people who are getting married should be, you know, very idealistic. Not only when they're getting married, but throughout the whole time of their life of marriage. And, you know, they shouldn't be thinking, you know, ahead in those terms. So it's often very difficult to get people to, you know, you have to explain to people it's a low plug, and more people sign it, it's no stigma, it'll help people, and so on and so forth. But every once in a while you get, like, somebody who's very enthusiastic, who understands this, and they say, oh, you know, we should do it, like, in a more public fashion. I once had a chassan who wanted to, like, read the prenuptial agreement under the chuppah. So I had to, like, hold him back. So I said to him, you don't want to do that. I mean, number one, it'll offend a lot of people. You want people, you know, to get people on board for this thing in a more subtle, you know, consensus kind of way. It's a newfangled document, and you want it, it's not the ksuba. And number two, it's very jarring, you know, to have this at your wedding. So the fellow said to me, but we read the ksuba under the chuppah. The ksuba is about what happens when there's a divorce. Or somebody, the husband Nebuch, dies. So isn't that jarring and isn't that sad? And yet we're reading it under the chuppah. So this, of course, you know, plays right into our issue and our topic. Namely, you know, a prenuptial agreement is a very important document, but it's all about, you know, what unhappily, you know, it's not a kiyum in the ishus. It's, you know, a necessary protection, you know, for what will happen, hopefully in a small percentage of cases. And therefore, you need to practically to deal with it. But of course, it's not a kiyum in the ishus. But the ksuva, as we're trying to note, there are two perspectives here. If you look at it as knas, if you look at it as, you know, something that is purely financial and, you know, deterrent in the narrowest sense, or punishment, punitive, you know, or compensatory, you know, in the narrowest sense, then in achnami. And then it's a total hefsek, you know, for sure. Between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, for sure. But it's also, you know, not something that, per se, you would want to have read under your chuppah, unless you're dafka looking for a way, you know, to inject something that was going to be mafsik between, you know, the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, per se, something totally different. However, if you take the perspective that we're discussing, whether it's the Mandamar Ksuvidar Aisa or the Mandamar Ksuvidar Abanan, which is that this deterrent of Gerushin isn't just about that, you know, moment of decision. It's about the ishus and about the chizuk, you know, hakasharim, to use the language of the Meiri. It's about the davar shebekdusha. It's about building confidence and you know, mutuality in the marriage, in a sense of you know, eliminating the casual, any casual part, and structuring in, you know, permanence and so on, mutual respect and so on. So then, you know, what could be better to be read at a wedding? As long as you know what it is. Now then, number one, you might explain, you know, it is being mafsik and maybe we don't want to, but, you know, it's important to read the ksuva. That's A. You might even go further and say, you know what, this isn't the hefsek. This is a bridge, in a way, between the Erusin and the Nisuin. So what I'm suggesting is these different formulations, how do we look at this? Both in terms of is it or isn't it a hefsek, and, you know, is it read because we want a hefsek, or is it read, you know, because it's so important despite the fact that it's a hefsek? Those are the shitas that we're, you know, reflecting in the Rush, the Tosis, the Rabbeinu Meshulam, Rabbeinu Tam. Again, the Ramah just, you know, quotes it. All of these really emerge, you know, in the light of our discussion, in a different light. Yeah.
If it's not a hefsek, then when you say another verse afterwards, it's a
No, he thinks it is a hefsek. Right? I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say for Ben Mishulam is, he thinks it's a hefsek that's worth making, obviously because he thinks that reading the ksuva is an important kiyum. It does. I said, you, ironically, once you think that, you might go further and say, well, this isn't. This is a bridge or a reaffirmation of all these things. It's not even a hefsek. Well, it is a hefsek in time. It also depends what you mean by a hefsek, meaning somebody's getting up there reading this Aramaic document. You know, and there's Mesiras, Haksuva. Some cases there's even Chasimas Haksuva. So in terms of time, it is another event before, you know, it's not just, you know, Bar Pregafen, you know, Birchas Eris and Birchas Nesuin. So how significant is it that it's considered a hefsek is still an open question. That's a hefsek question. Meaning, does it have to be a different theme? Like, you know, is it like, you know, Havlon Melach? You know, what does it take to constitute a hefsek? That's an issue. But what I'm saying for Ben Mishulam is that even though it's considered a hefsek technically, or maybe even conceptually, because it's still different than the themes of the Eris and the Nesuin, apparently there's good reason, there's some kiyum to do it. Basically, what Rabbeinu Tam was saying to Rabbeinu Mishulam is, why do you think Rashi's idea is good if you think that the integration holistically of Eris and Nesuin is ideal? So then don't do the Rashi. Why do you think it's good? The answer is, it's good because you're reading the ksuva. I was just saying, maybe it's so good it's not a hefsek. But it is a hefsek, and it's a different action. I mean it in the sense of havlon mela, meaning it's part of a, in a way, the most ambitious way to say this is it's not even a hefsek. If you want to say that you do still use only one kos and one bori pri agafen, even though you're reading the ksuva, that's amazing. There are those who say it's a separate bar of pregafen, but it's the same kos. Right. So where you draw the line is a question. But those are the ideas. Yeah.
The Rabbeinu Shlomo's lashon is a little phonetic. He says, "So by that you mean saying no, because Rabbeinu Shlomo they have sick ulis like the last opinion after. At least that's like the reason why we're reading it."
No, he thinks it's a hefsek. I'm just saying
the reason why we're reading it is the last opinion.
Right, but that's what Rabbeinu Tam is asking Rabbeinu Mishulam. Why do you want a hefsek if you think these things are integrated? The answer is, what I'm saying is because you're gaining some tremendous benefit out of the reading of the ksuva.
He makes it sound like the reasoning behind the minhag is not per se.
I don't think that's where I'm saying then he's vulnerable to Rabbeinu Tam's question. Why do you want to be mapsik if you think that they're the same? Right. So I hear the question, but I think. That's what you have to say. Yeah.
Couldn't it just be that he wants to differentiate between Eris and Nisuin in order to highlight the separate components of marriage?
Who?
They were done separately normally, so now that we're doing together, he wants them to be distinguished because he wants to highlight the fact that these are two separate components of marriage.
Right. I'm just saying, why would you want to do that?
Well,
you know, that's kind of what you're saying, what Robbie's saying.
Right. But
could be. I'm just telling you how I read it, but I can't. Again, they don't say so much. Either way, I think what emerges is three different views or four different views about understanding the reading of the ksuva in this at this point. A, is it a hefsek? B, do you want to be mafsik because of the urgency of Erusin and Nesuin? C, despite the fact that you don't want to be mafsik, do you think it's important to read the ksuva? I would just add that maybe part of both integrating and differentiating, which is what you're both saying, I just don't think that's what Rabbeinu Mishulam is necessarily saying, is highlighted by reading the ksuva, meaning it's a transition from, let's say, the Erisin to the Nesuin. I want to get to that back that in a second anyway. You know, is the ksuva more associated with the Erisin or the Nesuin? In light of everything that we've been saying, right, and will say about Erisin and Nesuin, the answer is unclear. Meaning, the ksuva is more about the, in one sense, it's about the nitty-gritty living together. You know, it's about the confidence, it's about the relationship. On the other hand, it takes the form of, you know, using, you know, financial levers, right, to reinforce, you know, the ishus. In a way, that's part of the kiddush of Erusin. So what I'm going to try to show in just another minute is, again, we showed yesterday that there were some, shtaros, which reflected that, you know, including Chuvas Rashi, you know, Sefer Shtaros of Riyar Barzaloni, right, which showed a blurring of the lines between Erisin and the Ksuva. We're going to try to show in just a second, and you know that's kind of consistent with the Bali Tosfos view in general, that the natural Zman Achiyuv of the Ksuva is the Erusin. And if Lo Kasav, the Chiyuv Ksuva still begins at Erusin. What I'm going to try to show in just a minute is that the Rambam's view is that it's connected to the Nesuah. And I think for good reason. But, yeah. Did you have a question, or we took care of it? I said, or you want to hold off, because we're going to be discussing these other parts? I leave it to your judgment. Okay. So, yeah.
I'll be sorry, why can't the prenup also be human issues also?
What isn't? The prenuptial, again, I don't want to go into this right now. Oh, just one sentence. What these prenuptial agreements, it's very important, and I'm very supportive of it. But what it is it's not a document to prevent divorce or to slow the brakes in divorce. It's a document that says that if there is definitely going to be a breakup of a marriage, then we want to make sure that the reason that it was created was we want to make sure that people don't exploit the power of giving a get, to benefit themselves in terms of terms. Like if there's going to be a divorce, we want to make sure that the get is not used as a tool of extortion, for the conditions of that divorce. That's what the prenuptial agreement is. So basically, it's an agreement that has two components. One is picking a Beis Din, for arbitration to hear the case to see who needs to be disciplined, if anyone. And B, it's a Tosefes Mizonos agreement, which says that if these people are heading to a divorce, the husband has to commit to X amount of dollars a day, to support, his soon-to-be ex-wife. That way he'll have the incentive of not dragging this out forever. So my point is that it's totally, a post-marital agreement. The ksuva, as we know, shalotei kalabeinu v'lahotzia. And it also has tanai ksuva. It also has the arrangements during their marriage. And it's, to prevent him from doing something casual or precipitate that, he's just going to divorce her, without thinking it through. There are consequences to divorcing. Slow down, think about it, work it out, and so on. So that's what I mean by kiyum in the marriage, in the ishus. But I'm glad you asked. Okay, so now let's just go move on to the other. That's the reading of the Ksuva. Just one second, make sure I'm not missing anything. So now I want to get back to the other two Rambams, which I think work very well. Ooh, okay, try to go a little quicker. And we'll leave, I guess, the Sher Ksus V'onav short discussion. For the Sher Ksus V'onav, just, again, make sure that you look at. You should also look at the Gemara. Again, we're going to do it very quickly, but. The Gemara in Ksuvis, Mem Zayin Amud Beis, whether Sher, Ksus, and Onar Doraisa, of course the Psukim I mentioned. On the Psukim, just look at Rashi, Alatar, Targum, and the Ramban, I would say. Again, I think I told you the Minim Mitzvos of the Rambam, Lav, what is it, Reish Samach Beis? Is that it? Is it Reish Samach Beis? What? Not Shin. Reish Samach Beis, I think. And then the Koteret to Hilchosishus and the Chinuch and Mem Vav, and say from Mitzvah Psagigon has an interesting discussion. That's what I want to look at there. But also the Rambam's Psak about the Ramban al Torah and the Rambam was it Yud Beis Beis and Yud Dalid, I think Zion in the Rambam about Sher Ksus Leon. Anyways, if you really get a chance and you have nothing else to do. The Hagdama of the Raivit to Bali and Nefesh also has a reference to Sher Ksus V'onav, which is interesting. But I'll mention it. You don't have to. I'd rather focus on the next Marmakovos of the Mishnah and the Das and Kenyan. So. Yeah, but that'll be for tomorrow. Anyways, for today, let's just finish up these other issues. So let's talk about the remaining Rambams. Right, so, what are the problems with the Rambam? And one more time? Jonathan? The Mishnah Nun Dalet Amud Beis has two halachos, as we mentioned. One is the halacha of Tosefes Ksuva, right? When a person dies, he writes it Mishas Erusin, but he dies before the Nesuin, right? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. That's one halacha. And then the second halacha, Hapoches Mibesula Mimasayim, right? The machlokas of Meir and Rabbi Huda, whether that works, if he's kosev and so on, and the language of Be'ilas Znos. Right, those are the two issues that we still wanted to discuss. Good. So, unless I'm forgetting something else, but I think those are the two remaining issues for the moment. So, so let's start with the first one. So the problem with the first issue, basically, there are two things to talk about. The question of Tosefes, what happens about Ikar Ksuba? When is the Ikar Zman HaMechayiv of the Ikar Ksuba? Is it the Shas Erisin, or is it the Shas Nisuin? Right, so we noted that that's a Machlokas HaRishonim, Yonatan, between who and who?
The Rambam and the Rosh.
The Rambam and the Baalei Tosfos in general, yeah. So the Rambam's view is that the default, if you will, Shas Chiyuv, when it comes to the Ksuba, is when?
The Nisuin.
Is at the time of the Nisuin. And the... I forget the page that I need. And the... Yeah, sure. And the Tosfos in Kiddushin, Samach Dalid, what is Samach Dalid Amin Aleph? Samach Hayim Aleph, where is it? Samach Hayim Aleph, right? Samach Hayim Aleph and Agos Memunios and many other of the Baalei Tosfos disagree, right? They're of the opinion that the default, even below Kosav, is Shas Averson. So that itself is a fascinating machlokes. Right? Does Ksuba more naturally belong to Erisin or to Nisuin? And I just mentioned those formularies where Erisin seems to be caught up with Nisuin. And now we have another interesting issue, and that is the reading of the Ksuba, and, you know, which comes between the Erisin and the Nisuin at the wedding, and to what extent it's considered to be a hefsek or proper, a desirable hefsek, an undesirable hefsek, a kiyum in which, a kiyum in both, etc. Okay. The problem beyond the machlokes is that the Rambam goes further. Yonatan, what is he saying?
In the event that they don't actually get married, that she can't, when she collects...
Even when he writes a ksuva, Mishas Erisin...
Yeah, if he wrote Mishas Erisin and they don't get married, she can only collect the Tosefes ksuva, she can't collect the Tosefes ksuva, and what she can collect...
The Ikar ksuva.
The Ikar ksuva is only from B'nai Chorin.
Only from B'nai Chorin. No, she cannot collect from the Chasim Mishubadim at all. And that's where the Rush went a little ballistic, saying, I don't understand this, Mimanushach, if there was a ksuva, so the ksuva is a star is Meshabed Karka, so how does the Rambam get to tell you that there's a Chiyuv Mamon, but that, you know, there are no Shibudim? That compromise is something which offended the Rush considerably. Okay, so the question is, what's going on in the Rambam? Yeah, okay. The language of the Rambam, you have it? Perikud Alokhi Yud Aleph? The language of the Rambam is also very worth noting.
From the beginning. Amaris is that Yishuv HaKasuv HaKasuv HaLo Nechnas HaMakopa Adayin Arusa Hi V'in HaNesua She'in HaKasuv HaOsa Nesua.
Yeah. Okay. What do you make of that? Okay, we read one more line. V'imei Sogirsha
V'imei Sogirsha Gova Iker Ksuva Sa Mibnei Chore.
Yeah. Avalim aras v'lo kasav.
Avalim aras isha v'lo kasav la ksuba umeis ogir shavehi arusa in la klum v'avilo eger shala tignu la eker ksuba ach kinasai o ach yipto.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So basically we have three halachos here, or three points here. Right? The last one is that the natural default time of ksuba is Nisuin, not Erisin, against the Baalei Tosfos. Here the Hagos Mamunios, right, quotes the view of the Baalei Tosfos against, right? That we discussed. Surely that's important for both Ksuva and for Erisin and Nisuin, right? Then we have the middle, how the big Chiddush of the Rambam that engendered the critique of the Rosh, namely that, you know, even when you do write a Ksuva, it's only B'nei Chorim, not Mishubanim, a shocking Rambam. Right? But there's another line in the Rambam worth noting. Not quite as dramatic, but worth noting. What's the line worth noting?
The Hatamina, that in Ksuba.
Correct.
That in Ksuba also in Ksuba.
Exactly. Why does the Rambam put in here that Hama'aris as a Isha Vakasav Laksuva Velo Nechus Alachupa Adayin Arusahi, the Eina Nesua, She'ena Ksuva Osa Nesuin? Why would anybody in their right mind think that writing a ksuva is nesuin. Right. So you could say, well, you know, it's a throwaway line. We don't, you know, usually think that the Rambam has throwaway lines. But more than that, again, in light of the fact, you know, the cumulative evidence, again, let's call it, you know, that line looms large. Remember, in the same halacha, the Rambam is telling us that the natural time of ksuva is nesuin, not erisin, and that even when you are makdim to zman erisin, right, it's only b'nei chari. And the Rambam's also telling, by the way, don't think it's the nesuin. Okay. So let's add another point here. What other point should we add, do you think, Jonathan? That's like an unfair question, but since it shows my confidence in you. That's the poches one.
Yes.
No, we'll get to that. No, I don't think that helps us here for these issues at the moment, although it'll help us. Obviously, it's part of the bigger picture. But I'm looking for another Rambam at the moment. Right, it's tremendous pressure, because here I'm reposing all this confidence in you. And which Rambam am I looking for? Another interesting Rambam.
Back in the Kotaret when he included Ksuba.
Well, that for sure. Okay, so let's mention that, since you mentioned it. Lisa Isha, right? Big Ksuba, the Kiddushin. Okay. It's interesting to note. Did you see the Mabit? Did I put that on my Mikolmos?
I did.
Anybody see the Mabit? Kiryat Sefer? It was probably in brackets or something, I'm guessing. What does Mabit say?
I was looking for what he was saying. I couldn't find.
Well, we should all be looking. Shua?
Mabit mentioned Ksuba in one of the only Mrs. Los Asay, the Isha, and not Mrs. Asay.
What does he do in the Asay?
Just omits it?
I thought not. I thought he says that Ksuba means Elisa?
Yeah, I thought.
Do I have a different Kiryat Sefer? Yeah? First name?
Abraham.
I think
he says
Yeah, doesn't he? Doesn't he say that the word ksuva means nesuin? He says the word ksuva here is just a bad way of saying Lisa Isha bin nesuin v'kidusha. Right? Are there two versions of the? I have the one you have. Avram and I have the same Kiryat Sefer. Okay, we're like, you know, we'll find out whether that's like a special club or. Okay, so that is very, that's again, that's not the Rambam, Rambam doesn't say that, but it's fascinating that Mabit says that, that the word ksuva is a stand-in for nesuin. Wow. Okay, so that's another one. Already, you know, Jonathan's pretty much, you know, got himself out of the pressure, but that isn't the one that I was looking for yet. Yehuda?
The one in Yod Halacha Vav?
Correct. What does Rambam say in Perek Yud Halacha Vav? No, I guess I meant Halacha Zayin.
Oh.
Okay. That's also important, the idea of whether Brichas Chasanim are Nesuin. Oh, you know what? Yeah, that's it's good that you meant. That isn't what I'm looking for at the moment. But again, the fact is that in Halacha Vav, the Rambam has a parallel statement about Birchas, about the Sheva Brachos. You should know the Sheva Brachos are not the Nesuin. We will discuss at length whether or not there are some shitas that think either that the Sheva Brachos are a matir and a nesuin chelki, or they are really the nesuin, or they can be the nesuin. But the Rambam, in a few places, wants you to know also. Now, the parallels is particularly important, because what does the Rambam think about nesuin that he has to tell you that the ksuva is not nesuin and that the brachos are not nesuin? Right? So that's going to be part of our, not the Sher Ksus, but the Kiddushin Nesuin topic, which is coming up at latest on Sunday, right? Why does the Rambam, what's the Rambam's view of Nesuin that he has to keep, you know, excluding these mechanisms which, you know, none of us would have ever thought were Nesuin, right? He does it by Ksuva, he does it by the Brachos. That's a pattern. So that, I'm glad you quoted that too. That's certainly part of the story here. But I guess what I really meant was Halacha Zayin. I can never tell the difference, you know, when they write in script between Vav and Zayin. I'm not sure if it's a dyslexic thing or, you know, I always think it's Vav and it's really always Zayin. Okay. Anyways, so what's in Halacha Zayin, Yehuda?
He's saying that you have to write the ketuvah.
Yeah, go ahead, read.
V'tzarech lichtov ketuvah kodem knisa l'chopah, v'achar kach yemot av'ishtar, v'achata noten tzchah ha'sofer.
Okay, forget about Sechar HaSofer for the moment. So the Rambam says here that the Ksuva has to be written before the Chuppah. Does it say that in the Gemara anywhere? You can't blame the Rambam for writing out a Gemara, right? But if the Rambam veers from the Gemara, so then it becomes part of the Rambam's global view and you know, cumulative patterns and all that become fair, you know, not only fair, but the way that we must look at it. So the Rambam has a... Who, does anybody disagree with the Rambam?
The Ram.
The?
Ram.
Ra?
Ram.
The Ran?
Yeah.
Okay, the Ran. Before the Ran, anybody? The Ramban, right? The Ramban al-Atar in the Gemara in first parak of Ksuvis disagrees. And the Ramach here on the Rambam, the Hagos HaRamach, also disagrees. Right? What does he say? I think I gave you that in the Makoros, right? Teimahu. Tahu Maisa, the Rabami, the Gemara in Sayin of Aleph. Charlie Mivla Betrila Bishabas Velo Aksiva Ksuva, Bavadi Bosa Maisa, Kvarnasis Chupa, the Amrole, Sheva Brachos, Lotzichala Kimit Fasta Metalpili, Nimsa Shloim and Hagam, Lichtov Ksuva, Kodim Kinsas and the Chupa. How do you answer that question? It's not for now at the moment, but Ritzorachi, the Ramach, this is basically the Ramban. I think the Magid Mishnah even quotes the Ramban, right? Ramban, the Chidush of Dal Raman Aleph, Hikshalze. Right? So the point is that maybe against the Gemara, maybe not, but certainly it's not the simple reading of the Gemara. The Rambam, you know, has initiated, you know, in terms of the least background of the Gemara, the Rambam has a chiddush about writing the Ksuva prior to the Chuppah. So the question then is, like, where does this come from and how do you understand it? Ah, so what do the Nosei Kelim say about it? Salah, did you get a chance to see it? What would you say about it? If I told you, I didn't necessarily wake you up in the middle of the night, but as I, you know, I just said to you, the Rambam holds you have to have the Ksuva written before the Chuppah. What would you think? The what?
The Matir.
Oh! Because you need a mat, because the halacha is, the Gemara seems to say, and the Rambam paskins this as well, in halacha yud, a kones asaisha vela kosev la ksuva, osha kosev yavad shtar ksuva, osha moch la ksuvasa la baila, osha moch la ksuvasa, chozer vekosev, ikra ksuva mratza la kaima, sha osu lo la adam le shaho simishta filo sha achas below ksuva. Right? That's a Gemara. You're not allowed to, as a matir for bias ishus, right? There has to be a ksuva. That's half of the story, right, Bezalel? 100%. That would be part of the story. And why does it have to be before... Oh, that's a matir for Bia. Why does it have to be before the Chuppah Dafka? Oh, because another Shitas HaRambam, which we're going to discuss at great length. Namely, the Rambam happens to hold... Again, it's not fair for the people who didn't know this, but, you know, it is quite well known. The Rambam happens to hold, or seems to hold, that what is Chuppah? Yichud. That's also an interesting part of the puzzle with the ksuva and the brachos, right? The Rambam says in Perek Yud Halacha Beis, Kim shenichsa rusa l'chuppah, rezu muteris lavo aleha b'chal yishe yirtza, farishta gemura l'chol davar. Although every word here is important, we'll discuss it when we discuss it, but it's coming soon. U'mishetikanes l'chuppah nikreis nesua, afa bishlo nivala, u'mishetia ruya l'be'ila, aval l'maysa nida, afa bishenichsa l'chuppah, v'nesiachini malo gamrua nesuin, Barei Karusa Dayan. This is the famous Shitas HaRambam. A, that Chuppah Hainu Yichud. We'll talk about it, whether it's the whole story or not, or part of the story. Chuppah Hainu Yichud. And therefore, says the Rambam, that Chuppas Nida is a problem. I'm advisedly formulating it, instead of saying it's not a Chuppah, I'm saying it's a problem. Okay, whether it's not a Gemar Ishus, or it's not Ishus at all, right, that we're going to leave out for the moment, because the Rambam seems to say that the brachos could still be fine, and they're not a bracha levatala, it's the language of gumro, but we'll talk about all this when we get to it. It's not for now. What is for now is that in Halacha Yud, Perikin Halacha Yud, the Rambam tells us, based on the Gemara, that you're not allowed to be, that you're not allowed to have marital intimacy without a ksuva. right? That seems to be a din rabbanan, but that's a halacha. And then in halacha base, the Rambam tells us that chuppa is yichud haroi libiyah. And that's a controversial view. Not all Rishonim agree with that. Most Rishonim don't agree with that. But that's Shita Sarabba. That's why we have Ede Yichud, right? Because we're koshesh for that Shita of the Rambam, that Yichud is the Chuppah. So if you put those two things together, you need Yichud, Aroi, Labia, and that as a precondition for Heter Bia, you need a Ksuva. So then that might explain why you need a Ksuva prior to the Chuppah. So basically, what we're saying is that Perek Aleph Kilchos Ishos Halacha Zayin is based on a combination of Perek Aleph Halacha Beis and Perek Aleph Halacha. I'm sorry, Perek Yud Halacha Beis and Perek Yud Halacha Yud. And indeed, that is the interpretation of many Rishonim in the Rambam and the Mefarshei Rambam. Look, for example, the Magen Mishnah right here. What does the Magen Mishnah say? And Perek Yud Halacha Zayin. He adds, "Kodem kinesu lechupa mepnei shehu sover debina lechatchila chupa haruia lebia shalayech sardavar afila midivreya." Ah, he added a couple of words here because the Magen Mishnah is a little bit bothered. I mean, this all is good; it works perfectly for the Rambam in a way, but the obligation to have a chupa kodem bia is a din drabanan. So, can it be a, you know, fundamental requirement of, you know, chuppah haruia labia? Chuppah haruia labia means daraisa. If the example is nida, let's say there's only an ikuv drabanan, is that still a problem? And if so, is it a drabanan problem or a daraisa problem? So we'll see the Rishonim discuss it. The Ran, as you mentioned, and others. Some of the opinion, yeah, which is what the Magen Mishnah is saying, chuppah that l'chatchila, it should be ruia labia legamri. You might add, you might say, we'll get back to this, but let me say it now anyway. You might say this is even a din d'oraisa. In other words, the fact that chuppah is that lack of chuppah is ma'akev, the bia only drabanan, is irrelevant. It's still ma'akev heter isha labala, because you're supposed to listen to the chachamim, right? And as long as there's no heter isha labala, whether it's drabanan or d'oraisa, maybe d'oraisa that affects the chuppah. Okay? What I call mashal ma davar dome, you know, there are some Rishonim who say that if you're mekadesh bi isra no drabanan, you know, that it's a drabanan problem, or it's based on afkinu, or things of that sort. Rashi in Psachim, right, daf zayin chitei kordanaisa, right, mekadesh bechametz b'shashishis, ein choshu the kiddushin. Rashi says it's based on kol mekadesh adata drabanan mekadesh, because after all, isra no drabanan, there's only drabanan. And then there are Rishonim, like the Ritva and others, who say, no, it doesn't matter that you can't spend the money only midrabanan. What matters is that Lamaisa, you can't get your Shavapruta from this money, so it's not a Kedusha Minatorah. Right. Similarly, right, when it comes to, when we say that according to the Rambam, you need Yichud or Roy Labia. Right, so what does that mean? Where do you draw the line? Does it mean, let's say, lemaisa, we're discussing in the base matters, a couple of people were asking me yesterday, right? Let's say for pragmatic reasons there's no possibility of bia. Would that be a problem of yichud or roi labia? Right? Where do you draw the line? So if nida, we understand that's nisar kares, it's nisar daraisa. Let's say the iser is only drabanan, but it's an iser, not a pragmatic inability or incapacity. Right? Interesting question. Is that only a drabanan, you know, problem in the chuppah? Or maybe it's no problem in the chuppah? Or what I'm suggesting now with the paradigm of Isuriano drabanan, maybe we don't care why. We care is that there's no heter isha labala. Al pi halacha, there's no, you know, unfettered chaye ha'ishas. Midaraisa, that's still a chuppah that's lacking. That requires that you have a certain more informal and more matir orientation to chuppah, which I think is exactly true in the Rambam. Anyways, I happen to think that you could, without you could go further than the Magen Mishnah and the Rishonim and think that this is a daraisa problem for the Rambam. On the one hand, I happen to think that that is the case. I'll tell you on the other hand in just 30 seconds. But this is the view of the Magen Mishnah and some of the Rishonim. The Gra, likewise, if you look, and again, at the Frankel Rambam, they're nice enough to give us the Gra. right? So here in Halacha Zayin, Tzorech Lichtov Ksuva Kodim Kisa L'Kupa U'Kishitaso B'Halacha Beis. Right, the Magen Mishnah says, or some of the Mepharshim here say, look at Halacha, the Makoros Utsiyunim here says, look at Perek Yud, Halacha Yud. Right? Whoever says, look at Perek Yud, Halacha Yud, or look at Perek Yud, Halacha Beis, is saying like the Rishonim in the Magen Mishnah, and the Rama says it this way in Shulchan Aruch, you know, which is the Rambam's view, seemingly Mechudash, attacked by other Rishonim, that the Ksuva has to be written before the Chuppah, is just an extension of his composite view about Chuppah, Hainu Yichud, and extend it a little bit. Yeah. Say that one more time.
In the mashal with the kudanais, so there, when it doesn't have, when it misses the rabbanon on it,
yes.
So that's no shabbos. Okay, now it's no shabbos, so midiraisa, not married. But over here, we're going to have to say the hagdara of the raisa of chuppah, roi levi.
Right, right, no, it is a bigger chiddush. 100%.
It's a bigger chiddush over
here. Right, absolutely. That's what I was saying before. It's one thing to say it about a shava pruta, and even then, Rashi and others disagree. It's something, you know, quite more mechudash to say this about the matir of chuppah. I agree. But I'm saying, could you still say it? 100%. But I agree with you. Absolutely, it's more, that's why I said mashal, but it's you're right, the mashal is easier in this case than the nimshal. Certainly not kol shekein, not even equal. I agree. Well, so what I'd like to just point out is the following, and that is, the Rambam says halacha of chuppah hayne yichud and the Isser of Nida, in Perek Yud Halacha Beis, right? And then he went on to speak about other things. Tzorech Levarech Birchas Chasan in the Beis HaChasan Kodem HaNisuin, right? Which, in my opinion, there's a, again, this is not for now. When we get to Daf Ches, we'll speak about it certainly more fully. The Rambam's views that Birchas Chasanim are made prior to the Chuppah. Right? There are Rishonim who think that the Birchas Chasanim are made after the Chuppah. This is also an interesting Shitas Rambam, right? There's a debate among the Mefarshim, the Ran and the Beis Yosef. Is that because the Rambam thinks that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, despite the fact that it doesn't sound like a Birchas HaMitzvah? Or is it because he thinks, you know, even though it's Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, you know, still the appropriate thing is to say it in advance? Okay, the Ran says it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Beis Yosef says it's Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. In my opinion, there's something in between those two things. I think that the Rambam, for the same reason that he had to tell you that the Birchas Chasanim are not the Chuppah, thinks that they're not the Chuppah, but they're a Kiyum in the Chuppah. I mean, it's neither exactly just Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, nor a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's integrated into the Kiyum of Chuppah itself. But anyways, that becomes important. The Rambam then goes on to discuss, after this din of Chuppah, Hainu Yichud and Yichud Aroy Labia, he goes on this other topic of Birchas Chasanim in Halacha Gimel, right, in Halacha Dalid, in Halacha He, Halacha Vav, and then he has this Halacha. So he goes on a tangent. He also hasn't yet introduced, you know, until Halacha Yud, the idea that the ksuva is ma'akev, the bias heter. So again, you know, there are plenty of authoritative mefarshim who are telling you that the Rambam Shita in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin is a function of Perek Yud Halacha Yud and Perek Yud, especially Halacha Beis and Gimel. But what I want to suggest is that you know, it's too far from Halacha Beis, and it's too early, you know, for Halacha Yud. Maybe this sheet of the Rambam is connected to his view in Halacha Yud Aleph, which is that the natural time of the Ksuva is the Nisuin. And what's the answer to the Rosh's question? Right. Mimadashach. But you did write the Ksuva, and you're Govim Chasim Nechorin, so you have a shtar, so you should be able to be Govim Chasim Mishabadim as well. Shlomo, what's the answer to that question? I mean, before I should give different answers to the question.
Yeah,
but
that time.
Meaning, if the Hagdara, if Ksuva was something neutral and it was just a Hischaivus Mammon, and, you know, it wasn't imposed on you until the Nisuin, but you could make it earlier if you want, then the amount of Shach, either it is or it isn't. But I think what the Rambam is really saying is that al pidin, not just in Choshen Mishpat, in Evan Ha'ezer, right? The ksuva, the chalos ksuva, is connected to the nesuin. You know, in that sense, the Kiryat Sefer, you know, works like a glove. You know, although again, it's the Mabit, it's not the Rambam. But the point is that by definition, you can't be makdim the nesuin, the ksuva to the erusin, if it's part of the definition of the nesuin. But you're trying so hard, and you're kasav ksuva. The answer is you're basically being mischayev yourself in Choshen Mishpat. You're simulating the ksuva, and you also don't want to write the document twice. But it ends up al pidin to be a kind of a Choshen Mishpat simulation of this combination Choshen Mishpat Evan Ha'ezer document. The Evan Ha'ezer part can't kick in before it's time, right? That's Lisa Isha Biksuva Vikidushin. Right? Even if you don't like the Kiryat Sefer. But it's part of the Lisa. And it's even mentioned before. So if that's the case, maybe what the Rambam is telling us in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav is the Ksuva has to precede the Chuppah. Right? For the same reason that the Brachos have to precede the Chuppah. Right? Because it's part of the Cheftza of Nisuin. It's part of that Chalos Nisuin, or it's a Kiyum at least in the Chalos Nisuin. So it's not completely disconnected from the Rambam's ideas of Chuppah Zamatir, but it's not, you know, technically directly connected to that either. It's not an extension of Halacha Beis, and it's not built on what comes later in Halacha Yud, although it's totally consistent with that too. In my opinion, this Rambam is a standalone Rambam. The Rambam says the ksuva is connected to Nisuin, and therefore it has to be written before the Nisuin. And it's a natural continuation of what he says about the Brachos, parallel and natural. Okay, anyways, having said that, so now let's look at the final piece of the puzzle that we'll end here, and that is the Rambam on the second half of that Mishnah. Jonathan, so what was that again? The second half of the Mishnah, Nun Dalid, quotes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda.
So Rambam quotes like Rabbi Meir, which is weird because Rabbi Meir quotes like
exactly. The Rambam seems to paskin like Rabbi Meir. In Perush Mishnayos, in the Kapach version, he says, I paskin like Rabbi Meir. Right? In the old printed, version, the Ibn Tibbins, and then Rav Kapach says that he thinks that it's different Maduros. I see in the new Perush Mishnayos that, again, I received last year from everybody, thank you again. They have this other view that it's a Ksaviad thing, it was just left out, they didn't have the second half of the Mishnah. I personally like the Kapach idea here. The Rambam seems to be ambivalent of whether he's going to mention that he paskins like Rabbi Meir or not. The reason I like that is because why should the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Meir? According to the Gemara, the ingredients of Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are twofold. Right? One is, what do you generally hold about Masna Masha Kosa B'Torah B'Tanai Dover Shiva Mamon? The Rambam paskins in that issue like who? Rabbi Yehuda, right? That Tanai Dover Shiva Mamon is Kayam. And the second one is Ksuva D'Oraisa, Ksuva D'Rabbanan, which Jonathan correctly just noted. The Rambam seems to paskin Ksuva as D'Rabbanan. So the Rambam should have paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Meir. And yet, clearly, you want to read it for us? He refers to it twice, really. Right? Jonathan, go ahead. No. In the Mishnah Torah. Which one, indeed? What is it? There are two of them. So he has it in... Yeah, the main one is in Yud Bet. And he also has it in... One second, why can't I find it in a moment? Yeah, what is it? Yud Beis Vav and Ches. Earlier, let's go for the earlier one first. Yud Tes. Ein pokas le besula mi masayim le beula mi mea. Vekola pokas bilas o bilas nus. Again, I mentioned that's just a shocking line in the Mishnah anyway, even for a mayor, and the Rambam paskins it. And then he says, Echad HaKosef is like Suva Bishtar, Echad Shid Olav Edim, Bekonim Bimenu, Shu Chayivla, Meo Masayim, Arezeh Mutter. Right? V'chein Im Nosan La Metaltolin, Keneged Ksavasa, Mitaliv Alachila Pnai Lichta. Fine. So the Ram Paskins, Ain Poksil Psilim Masayim, Kolapoches Bilaso Bilas Zus. Paskins like Rabbeinu. Then again, more important, more expansively, Yud Beis Vav and Ches. What does he have there, Jonathan? Sure, she makes a tanai. Shaloi is right. She is Zaka Habal beEchad min Advarim Shehu Zocha Bahem. Right. Yeah. Why? Because Masal Mashikasa B'Torah, or not? Davar Shem Mam. Chutz. Three things. Ona, Ikar Ksuva, and Yerusha. Ikar Ksuva, of course, is Rab Meir. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, read Zion. Might as well just not skip Zion.
It's now a Isha Shein La Allah Ona.
There are some Rishonim who disagree, by the way. I didn't assign them at the moment, but it'll be important for our brief Sherksus discussion. The Ritva, among others, who say you can even Ona because it's Hanas HaGuf, so that would qualify as the equivalent of Davar Shebamam. Just fascinating, I'll talk about that. There are two ways to look at that argument. Is it an argument about Ona, or is it an argument about Masa Masha Kosa B'Torah B'Tnai Davar Shebamamo? Right, we'll talk about it a little bit, I guess, tomorrow. Okay, but that's one example. Right, we want to look at the example, the other examples, because they could be paired, they could, you know, shed light, perhaps. Are the three all the same? Right, or are they different? Okay, keep going. Ches, Hisni Ma.
Hisni Ma Shlipot Ikar Ketuba Moshe Katav La Matayim Umeya Ikar
Ikar Ksuba. So here's where the Rambam paskins the other way, and as we are noted already, he also does something else, and that is he switches the order of the relationship, because the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Meir, the Tnai is not effective, right? And since it's not effective, but she doesn't know where she stands, so lo samcha daita, she's very like tentative in this relationship, and that's why it's bilaznus, because she doesn't have confidence in the relationship. She doesn't know, you know, what her rights are in a way. That's what the Gemara says about Rav Meir. If you notice, what the Rambam did was, the Rambam said that the reason that the tnai is batel is doesn't cause Bilas Nus, but as a result of the fact that Kol Apoches Lebesilim Masayim Alamana Mimana Hareza Bilas Nus. Okay. Now the Mefarshim Al Atar note the difficulty, right? If you look at the Magid Mishnah, right, and the I think Lecha Mishnah, they both note the problem here. That namely two problems. Number one, the Magid Mishnah notes that the Rambam should have paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because he paskins like the ingredients of Rabbi Yehuda. Why doesn't he? So he ends up saying, well, you know, he paskins like Rabbi Meir, but lav mitamei. That's the Magid Mishnah's mahalach. The Lecha Mishnah even goes further and even noted the relationship between the Bol Bilas Nus and the Psak. He actually points out, he says, well, the Rambam seems to have reversed the order, like, you know, what's going on here? So I think that the answer, you know, again, where the Rambam got it from in terms of the Gemara, that remains difficult. But this will also explain why he's maybe ambivalent to say I paskin like Rav Meir, because he shouldn't be paskin like Rav Meir, right? But I think the idea, in light of everything that we've discussed, is very, very simple, and it starts with the language of the Mishnah itself, even in the way that the Gemara understands. You know, kol apoches lebesula mimasayim alamana mimana kibol bilasnos. It's a strong language. Right, it's not nice. It's not effective. Kibol bilas nus. Wow. Right, but basically, what it means, is in light of what we've been discussing, is he wants it. He wants to cut down on the shalotei kalabein of lahotzia. But he wants a marriage in which he can be more casual, right, and in which the level of confidence is lower. Basically, he wants a Pilagesh-esque or a Kadesha-esque kind of a marriage. Right? But he wants to have the hall, he wants to have the rabbi, you know, he wants to get all the mazel tovs. But, you know, just in case, he wants to make it just a little bit easier to walk away. That's not about money. That's not a t'nai davar shebamamon. Right? That's about the quality of his ishus. So that's what we mean when we use this sharp but perfectly appropriate hareza bol bilaznus. Basically, he's trying to use the framework of ishus, right, for kadesh and pilegesh, which according to the Rambam of all people, right, whose view on Kadesha is the most radical, as we discussed, and Pilagesh, right? Anything outside of Ishus, right, smacks of that, post-Matan Torah. So basically, what the Rambam's saying is, it could be the Ksuvas Drabanan, but as we know, Kadesha and Pilagesh and Lisa Isha Biksuva Vikidushin, moreover, as we just noted, right, you should write the Ksuva. Right, but before the chuppah, there's a havamina. Maybe the writing of the ksuva is the chuppah, the natural time of the ksuva, you know, only begins. It's that's why you're only going with b'nei chori, because it's only a simulation, a kind of a schaibus. The piece of paper can only begin at the nesuin. This is all a kiyum in ishus. So the Rambam says that's it's true. Ksuva is rabbanan, but kol poches mibesulam nasayim. Is not about Dover Shabamon. Right? The Ritva said, even Ona, you know, is under the rubric of Masa Masha Kosa B'Torah B'Tanai Dover Shabamon. And the Rambam says, even the Ksuva is under the category of Masa Masha Kosa B'Torah. What does the Rambam compare it to? Yerusha and Ona. Now, what's the Rambam's view about Yerusha? The Rambam's famous view of Yerusha, which he, you know, mentions here, but develops more in Hilchos Yerusha. The Rambam has a limud, which no one knows exactly where he got, based on the pasuk in Torah, Chukas Mishpat. Right, so the Rambam says Chukas Mishpat means that you can't make Tanaim when it comes to Yerusha. Which is another way of saying Yerusha is not a davar shebamamon, even though it looks that way. It's really about family legacy, family structure. That is Iser. That's not really Mammon. I don't want to go into Yerusha right now. But the point is, the three exceptions of the Rambam here are Yerusha, Ona, and Ikar Ksuva. The reason for all three exceptions is they're not Davar Shebam. They may look like close to Davar Shebam Mammon, but they're not. So that's what the Rambam turns it around. The Rambam says, when you try to get out of your rabbinically imposed obligation of ksuva, you're making a doraisa statement about the kind of ishus that you want, right? You're trying to turn your ishus into heter znus. And doing that is not a davar shebamamon. And therefore, the t'nai is not kaya. Yeah? The Lechem Mishnah actually says that part of it? One second. I know you asked the question. The issue of the Tarich Kushazu, one second. Where we read the line? Oh, great. Well, what's the Ki'ilu Havidaraisa, you mean? Yeah, now that part I think is clear in the Rambam, that the Rambam's comparing all three and saying it isn't Tanai Davar Shebamamon. I mean, I think, you know, if you're a sensitive reader of the Rambam, that is very clear. I'm glad the Lechem Mishnah brings it out as well. But he also seems to be, again, you know, he knows what implicitly bothers the Lechem Mishnah is, but Ksuvas Drabanan, right? The answer is Ksuvas Drabanan, but once they were mitaking it, you know, it ends up redefining Bilas Nus Doraisa, right? And that's not a Davar Shebamamon. It's not a Davar Shebamamon, but that works perfectly. You might think it's part of the Haggadah of the Nesuin. Like the brachos, yeah.
So the Rambam in Halacha Tet, when he's talking about Yerusha, says specifically, even though Yerusha is derabanan, aso pesek l'dvareha.
Yeah, no, because, yeah.
He doesn't say that in Halacha
Tet. Right, even better, excellent.
He's talking about the right marital aspect.
Excellent. Does the Yerush, because this particular, does the Rambam's idea of Chukas Mishpat, Jonathan's making a very good point. Good hara. So, in other words, the Rambam's idea of Chukas Mishpat and Chukas Yerusha is daraisa. Right? In a Daraisa Yerusha, in other words, that you can't be Masna. And that's his way of saying it isn't Davar Shebamamon. the Rambam here in Halakhat saying, aye, but the Yerusha Sabal is only right midivrei sofrim? The answer is Asu Chizuk Adivrei Mishel Torah. So Jonathan's saying, how come he didn't say that about the Ksuva? Right in the previous Halakha? But the answer is because the Rambam, you know, in Pilegeshon and Kadeshon and the Koteret, you know, and so on, is of the view that, you know, there's an Ikaron Daraisa here. So it's even more than Asu Chizuk Adivrei Mishel Torah. I would argue that the Divrei Sofrim of Yerusha Sabal also is has a kernel in Daraisa, but it is that at least all the whole din is Drabana. Yeah.
By this Agdara, why isn't trying to shirk your responsibilities in terms of sharing
Ksus
also?
So what I'm going to try to show tomorrow very briefly is that the Rambam thinks that sharing Ksus could be either better or worse. You know, it's about the relationships with the between them in the marriage. So on the one hand, you might think, well, you know, the contingency of divorce and death outside after the marriage, you know, then kol shekain, you know, the tanai ksuva or the sher ksus, you know, in the marriage, 100%. On the other hand, you know, you might say, no, the sher ksus in the marriage is just the nitty gritty of life. The that's already the dini mamonis. I wouldn't say it's completely stripped of kiyum medishus, but it doesn't have the shalote kala be'enav lo. It's not about the level of confidence and commitment, you know, in the staying power of the marriage. Maybe that's about the nitty gritty. And what I'll try to show is that the Rambam, certainly in Sefer Mitzvos, felt that it really comes from the world. The paradigm is Ama Ivriya, and of course it's, you know, Kol Shekain Bibnos Yisrael. But what he says in Reish Samach Beis is this is you know, a shared, or at least a primarily, you know, it's a, which is where it is in Mishpatim, you know, it's a, if somebody lives under your roof, you have obligations to them. And that's certainly true even more so in marriage. But it isn't primarily, it's not primarily an Ishus Halacha. It has an Ishus twist, but it's really primarily you know, a responsibility Halacha. That's why I think he doesn't believe that in sharing Ksus. Other Rishonim might disagree, including especially Reb Sadriko. That's one of the things I want to talk about. Okay, I have to stop here. So, well, I just want to mention the Rambam and Mordechai and the Tshuva tomorrow just for a second. And I think, and also Tosfos and Ksuvas Mem Amud Beis for a second. Tosfos also points out that you have cases of Ksuva where there's no Shalotei Kala Be'enav Lo Tzi in a technical way. But just literally for that, you know, 2 minutes. Then I want to talk very briefly about Sher Ksus. If we can, we'll try to also start the Kedushin and the Suv. But as you can see already, everything is connected. What we said today about the Rambam's view in the Suin, the Havamina about Brachos, the Havamina about Ksuva, Chupa Hainu Yichud, Ksuva being associated for the Rambam in the Suin, all these are, you know, necessarily interconnected topics. So we'll see how it goes. Okay.